Well, so far in our sermon series entitled The Words of the Master, where we're focusing in on what Jesus taught, we've seen him teaching things like put God first in life, obey God's commands, and put them above our own desires if those two things conflict, take God's commands very seriously, not frivolously or like a sideline thing. Last time out, we saw him saying, repent, turn away from sin, and believe in me, or eternal punishment will be the result. Well, one thought a person might have as they take the leap of deciding to display in their life the kind of dedication that Jesus is talking about there is that they might think, you know, I'm going to probably start looking a little different, maybe a lot different than the average person in my community. Now, I don't think that even the most mature Christ follower would want to describe themselves as holy. Mature Christ followers are going to know all too well their weaknesses and probably never feel comfortable with that particular label. But we are called in that direction by Jesus. One of the definitions of the word holy is set apart from the world, living as God would have us live. We're supposed to be different and act different. And so as a new Christian comes to embrace the idea, okay, I'll be different if that's what Jesus is asking of me, then a next natural question arises. If I'm supposed to be different from the world, then how am I supposed to relate to the people out there who aren't following Jesus? Should I stay away from them? Should I be hanging out with them? And this topic comes up in the Christian life. For example, there are some Christ followers who won't ever go into a bar, and there are some Christ followers who purposely go into bars in order to build relationships with people who need Jesus. We might ask here at Calvary if our church small groups are open to having people attend them who are definitely not living a Christian lifestyle, or if those groups should be reserved for serious Christians. There's the question of homeschooling versus public schooling. Now part of that debate has to do with what our kids are being exposed to and taught. But there's also some of this, do we stay separate from the world or do we engage with the world question in there too. If we truly put God and his commands in the top spot in our lives, we're going to be different than many of the people around us. We're supposed to be different than many of the people around us. And so how are we to relate to those people around us? I'm going to take a little detour from our Words of the Master series today so that we can wrestle a bit with this question. It's a topic we've discussed here in the past, and it's worth coming back to again. To assist us on this question today, though, we won't be looking at the words of Jesus. Instead, I'm going to go with a different wise person in the Bible. We're going to look today at the words of Solomon. But first, when I was 13 years old, I had a huge crush on a girl named Susie Englert. Does this shock you, Anna? Susie was a cool kid. She was confident, funny, attractive. At 13, I was in my awkward junior high years. Not really in the cool group of kids. Not really all that confident. I was the nice church-going kid. And for some reason, I thought Susie was the best. I never dated her or whatever we would have called that in junior high. But we did spend hours talking on the phone over a number of years. We were good friends in a very weird sort of way. Our relationship consisted primarily of me chasing her. And Susie knew that I liked her, and she was very content to allow me to continue chasing her and liking her, always giving me just enough hope to keep going, but never actually giving in to my romantic overtures. Now, she actually was pretty good to me, other than allowing me to routinely make a fool of myself in front of her. But Susie had a naughty streak in her as well. There wasn't a whole lot of parental involvement in her life, as I recall it, and she was pretty much free to do as she wished. And I don't know if this was some of the appeal for me at that time in my life, me always having been the good church kid and her being the slightly wild girl. I don't know. But anyhow, my best friend at the time, Brandon, lived right next to Susie, and he also didn't have a whole lot of parental oversight in his life. And Brandon and Susie and I would, and maybe a couple other friends, would hang out a lot, especially on summer nights. Most of the time, we didn't cause any harm. But again, Susie had this naughty side to her, and so sometimes we did do some not so good things. She was the initiator, and I was the follower. We used to toilet paper people's houses, which, okay, that's not all that bad, except for the fact that usually our target was the house of a kid that she didn't like, and so that house got it a lot, which was pretty mean, actually. I wasn't a mean kid. I felt bad about it, but I went along with it because this was Susie. Worst thing we ever did, and something I actually still feel bad about to this day, is that we, or I should say she, while Brandon and I watched, took a lighter and opened up a couple of mailboxes, the ones out on the road, and lit the mail in them on fire, which is an actual crime. And I've always hoped that, ever since then, that the mail that those people had that day was just junk mail, and not like, you know, their long-lost son who had finally written a letter, and now it's burned up. And that was a pretty bad deal, and I didn't stop it from happening. So this was my relationship with Susie Englert while we were in the eighth grade. True confessions for you. Okay, so note Susie's behaviors there and the effect they had on me, at least, drawing me into behaviors that I wouldn't normally have been a part of. And then I'll ask you this question. If you had a kid in our church youth group, how would your relationship with Jesus gotten a student like Susie started coming? A community kid, no real relationship with Jesus, gotten some trouble now and then. Would her coming to youth group be a good thing or a bad thing? On the one hand, wouldn't we all say that that's church is exactly where Susie should have been, right? She could use some godly instruction, teaching. On the other hand, what will Susie's influence be on that group of students? Will the kids who are generally wanting to be God followers be negatively influenced by her, or will they positively influence Susie? It's actually hard to know how that would turn out. So, again, this is our question for the morning. Should Christ followers only hang out with other Christ followers, or should we also be fashioning relationships with people who aren't living for God and who are regularly choosing to act in sinful ways? Do we keep them away from us, or do we try to draw them in? And I want to make one thing very clear here. We all act in sinful ways, Christian or not. So in some ways, there is no distinction between us. We're all sinners. But there is a difference between a person who, generally speaking, is trying to obey God in their life versus someone who isn't trying at all. So more specifically, then, my question for today is, should Christians hang out with people who very clearly are not living for God and who are choosing to act in sinful ways on a regular or at least semi-regular basis? Do we befriend them or not? And it's actually not the easiest question to answer. Well, what do you do when you have a puzzle in life that you're having a difficult time solving? Sometimes what you do is you go ask a wise person for advice, and that's what's going to get us to King Solomon of ancient Israel now, a man who was highly regarded for his wisdom at the time. Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs in our Bibles, and he did have a thing or two to say on this subject that we're talking about here, so we'll take a look. First off, here's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech," says God. So God hates evil, he hates sin, and for good reason, because sin leads to destruction, pain, and death. Evil is the opposite of God, and he hates it, and if we're wanting to follow God with our lives, then we ought to hate evil too. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, he says. To respect the Lord is to hate evil. We're to turn our heads from it when we see it and move in the opposite direction. So when Susie got out that lighter and started lighting mail on fire, I should have stopped her. And if she wasn't going to stop, then I should have turned in the other direction and gone home. Here's more from Solomon, Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 10. He says, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood and ambush some harmless soul. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, we'll share the loot.' My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it." So there's a strong call for us, if we want to live wisely, to not participate in the schemes of people who are intending evil acts. Why? Because they're on their way to death. And if you participate with them, they'll drag you down with them as well. A couple more verses to look at. Proverbs 13, verse 20. "Walk with the wise and become wise. A companion of fools suffers harm." Chapter 20, verse 19. "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much." And chapter 22, verses 24 to 25. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Don't associate with one who's easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Don't make friends with, don't associate with, or you may learn their ways. So I made friends with this girl who was intent on mischief, and all of a sudden there I was, a 13-year-old out running the streets, and mail was getting lit on fire. Now, I didn't learn her ways in the sense that I started doing that behavior myself, but do you see how quickly we can find ourselves in bad situations if we're hanging out with the wrong people? If the cops had shown up that night, I would have been in trouble with the law. What seems like innocent fun at first can turn bad in a hurry, and so Solomon says, be very careful about who you're friends with. So about now, you're starting to think that you know how Solomon is going to is advising us here on our question for the morning. Well, let me mess that up for you now. Just when you begin thinking that his advice for Christians is to stay far away from those who aren't following God in their lives, we then come upon Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 to 22, a passage which says this to us: "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat." Check that again. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. And this piece of counsel actually could be considered to be part of our Words of the Master sermon series, because Jesus picked up this Old Testament teaching and took it even further, saying that we should love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. This is a different picture now coming from Solomon and Jesus. We're to love our enemies and seek to meet their needs. If your enemy is hungry, bring him food, says Solomon. So we're asked there to direct tangible acts of love towards our enemies. Sticking with my teenage stories, my enemy might be the kid who just randomly spit in my face one day when I was walking in the halls of our junior high school. So, am I supposed to love that guy? Look for ways to meet his needs? Yes, is the answer to those questions. What about the teenager, I told you this story a few weeks ago, the teenager who disrupted the game of football I was playing under the school parking lot lights one summer night with my friends, who wanted to pick a fight. He wanted to punch me and my buddies. I'm supposed to show him love? Yeah. So if this is how Solomon would teach us to act in regards to people who are intentionally directing evil towards us, then absolutely the same instructions would apply to how we're to behave towards people who are not involved in sinful activities. Well, they are involved in sinful activities, but they're not directing them to us. I mean, that would apply to them too, right? We're also in those circumstances to perform tangible acts of love towards those people. So you know what we've got after bringing our puzzle to wise Solomon and the words of the book of Proverbs. We still got a puzzle. On the one hand, we've been told to hate evil and stay far away from it. We've been warned to be very careful about who we're friends with and who we hang out with. And on the other hand, we've been also told to show love and perform intentional acts of love towards people who are not following God and who are choosing to be involved in sin. The puzzle remains. And Solomon doesn't resolve it for us, so we're just going to have to do it on our own. How to resolve these seemingly contradictory thoughts, we'll take our best shot at it. So let's go back to the example of a kid like Susie joining our church youth group. But this time, let's imagine that we are the teenagers in the youth group. We're all members of that group. And so here comes this other student like Susie, and we'll say this person is involved in somewhat regular sin, and they start attending. Would it be loving of you to ignore that person and sit on the other side of the youth room? No is the answer to that question, right? Would it be loving of you to ignore them in school the next day? I don't think that's loving behavior. So next question is, would it be possible for you to show genuine love to that person at youth group and at school without becoming their hangout buddy and close friend? And yeah, I think so. I'd say that's a possible answer for you. I think we can show love to people without becoming hangout buddies. That's one possible solution that might be consistent with these differing instructions we're getting from Proverbs on this. Does that mean you should never do anything with that person outside of youth group and school, that you shouldn't ever hang out with them? On that one, I think I would say it depends. If you are a student who is trying to follow God with your life, then I think you need to be honest with yourself. How strong are you in your obedience to God? Remember the example of my relationship with Susie back in junior high, because I wanted to hang out with her so bad, I started doing things, un-Christ-like things, that I never would have done otherwise. There can be a strong pull in that direction. So be honest with yourself. How strong are you? If you go hang out with them, who's going to influence who the most? Do you think you might be tempted into abandoning the principles that you're trying to live by? If so, you probably shouldn't hang out with them, right? But if you're sure that you can hang out with that person and not be brought into participating in their sinful behaviors, then I would say that that might be a great thing for you to do for that person to be a true friend and a good influence on their life. And I think of Renee Busson, from Mike and Renee Busson, one of our missionary couples that we sponsor here. A number of you will have heard Renee's testimony in the past, and you may remember that it involves a fellow student at Madison High School back when Renee was in high school, a fellow student who was an on-fire Christian believer, a girl who befriended Renee back when she was actually focused on sin and drinking and partying and all that. Now, this Christian girl did not go party with Renee. She didn't participate in those behaviors with her, but she also didn't shun Renee. In fact, she got to know her, and they would hang out from time to time, and she was always encouraging Renee and showing her the love of Jesus until Renee just couldn't stand it anymore and realized that she needed Jesus too. So that can be done. But you do need to know how strong you are before you enter into a relationship like that. Don't take the chance, if you think you're going to be tempted into bad behaviors, of hanging out with that person. And I think we need to assess the danger factor here too. How bad are we talking about, right? How bad are the behaviors this person is committing? Don't take the chance of getting caught up in something illegal or dangerous, right? Wise Solomon has said, be very careful about who your friends are. So that's a teenage example. How about an adult example? I had a coworker at a former job of mine who was regularly in inappropriate, intimate relationships, and who, at least for part of the time that I knew him, spent every Friday just blowing his money on alcohol at drunken parties. We are to hate evil and stay away from it. I never called those behaviors of his good or condoned them. I didn't join in with him in his partying. But we are to love all people and not shun them or move to the other side of the room. So I got to know this man, and we would talk about life together. We'd go to lunch together at restaurants on the Minneapolis Skyway from time to time. We were friends at work. And although we never did it, I knew I could have hung out with him outside of work too without having been tempted to behave in wrong ways. Being friends with that guy meant that I sometimes heard some stories that I wish I hadn't heard, but that's just where he was at in life, and I wasn't going to shun him. So it was a good friendship, and I hope I represented Christ well in his life. So this stuff applies whether we're teenagers or adults. One thing I do think, whether you're a teen or adult Christ follower, is that we should fashion our inner circle of friends out of people who are also wanting to follow God. Solomon said, walk with the wise and become wise. I do think that we ought to, if possible, choose Christ followers as our closest friends. So have we solved the puzzle and figured out a way to navigate the truths told to us by Solomon, that on one hand we're to hate evil and be very careful about who we're friends with, and on the other hand we're to demonstrate tangible acts of genuine love towards those who are choosing to act in sinful ways? Our attempt at an answer today has been that we are not to shun people or ignore them, that we should seek to show love to them even if we decide we can't be hangout friends, but we should consider being hangout friends with them in order to influence them for God, if we know that we're strong enough not to get sucked into their bad behaviors, and if we know that we won't be in danger. And lastly, we said that our closest friends, our inner circle, really should be made up of people who also are desiring to follow God. That will help you immensely in your own walk. What do you think? Is that a decent way to resolve this? There's always going to be tension on this topic. We can't run from it. We live in a world that's populated both by people who want to serve God and who don't. Heaven's going to be different, but for now, this is our reality. And given what we've read from Jesus in recent sermons, those people who don't want to follow God with their lives, they need rescuing. And we have been given the task of introducing them to the rescuer, to Jesus. The way I see it, there are two real obvious ways that we could screw up the accomplishment of that task of introducing them to Jesus. The first way we could mess it up is by joining those people in their sins and misrepresenting the rescuer. And the second way we could mess it up is by hiding from people who need to be rescued. May God give us wisdom in these things as we seek to be his disciples in life. Would you pray with me? Lord God, by the influence of your Holy Spirit within us, will you give us guidance in how to navigate these matters and the various situations we encounter in our lives, that we might be able to both stay true to you and the principles of your word and get out into the world and into loving relationships with people who need you. Lead us in these things. Lord Jesus, you didn't hang out only with the church people when you were on the earth, and in fact, it was almost the opposite. Although, you always had your inner circle of friends who wanted to follow God with you. Help us to follow your example. And may you, through the relationships we build, rescue more and more and more people. Amen.